Like where are they coming from?
Yeah, so
what kind of background do they have?
The math consultant is someone I've worked with for years. He was a teacher at the charter school of Wilmington. He presents nationally and writes for textbook curriculum. His name's Chuck Beal. He's retired. So he came for 3 days, like I said, and I actually have a proposal that he has written, but the idea is to help to observe curriculum in action and try to teach teachers to go away from the drill and kill and more of a collaborative learning approach. But he's been met with the teachers at the end of his week, and he's actually taking the information from the teachers of what they would like to do or how they would like to see the math department develop, and he's doing the legwork that we don't have the time to do because of time constraints. So he's already taken a look at different curriculums so that we can vertically align the middle school with the high school. Right now, currently, they're using different curriculums, different textbook companies, and what we would like to do is have one textbook company, so it just makes sense for students, to transition from middle school to high school doing some of the similar things. One of the biggest complaints are students aren't ready for the higher math when they come to us. So one of the biggest things is that the vertical articulation, we make sure that it is cohesive, coherent, and fluid from 6th to 12th grade. So
makes sense.
I just wanted to piggyback for a second off of that. I have two things. One is I wish Chris was here because he can second me on this, is last week, week before, I went to Sussex County Today and Tomorrow, which is a conference at Del Tech. They have it, this was the 25th year. It's a really great conference, and it's really focuses on business in the county and how to kind of bring Sussex County, into the future. And one of the panelists this year was Susan Bunting, and she talked a lot about how the State Board of Education is working on expanding pathway options, creating new pathways, all this stuff. And it was very interesting because several people who were given the opportunity to ask her questions sort of challenged her on the pathways and said that we don't need more pathways. What we need is applicable learning for our kids so that they, number one, come out of high school with a skill that they can apply, and number two, that they thought that the Board of Education was too focused on pushing college for every kid instead of pushing an equal opportunity for kids to go to like the technical schools to learn a trade or a skill there. It was very interesting because it seemed to me, and you know how education, it's like a pendulum, it swings, but it seems to me like we're swinging sort of in the direction of away from STEM, because she talked a lot about STEM, and these, people were like, the business owners were like, don't know what STEM is and don't care. We need kids who can actually come work for us, who can do stuff. So it was interesting. It was a very interesting, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, with the technical schools. I think there's a recommitment to, that the technical piece of it, not so much the college prep piece. So we'll see. Second is that I just said to Susie, I forgot, we need to, and we don't have a meeting in December, so we need to figure out, and I don't mean right now because we can't, but what we're going to do for the staff gift this year. And
it was my suggestion that we vote to leave that to Jen.
Well, I mean,
I'm comfortable with that. I'm not sure anybody else.
I think what we should do is something similar to what we've done in the years past. I mean, I don't think we should, I wouldn't say that we're going to, So maybe if it's okay with you guys, Eric and I.
Yeah, I think one thing we'll have to do is get with Alan.
Yeah.
Just to make sure money is available with the leveling up, with the salaries and everything like that. So, we'll come up with something.
In years past, we do a big gift card fundraiser through Sports Boosters. And in past years, we didn't do that last year, though.
We had to stop that because you cannot give gift cards.
That's right, because the whole petty cash thing. So what did we give last year? We just gave a
bonus.
Okay.
Check.
Okay. So how do you want to handle that?
I make a motion that we authorize Jen to come up with the gift program for the staff on behalf of the board. Anybody?
Second.
Uday seconds, any discussion?
Perhaps modify it to Jen.
And Eric.
Consultation with the administration.
Consultation with the administration, yes, with that modification. So I revise my motion to add that, anyone second? Uday seconds again? Everyone, anybody have any problem with that or not feel comfortable with that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Look how quickly we delegated, look at that.
Great. Okay. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you big time. Oh, you are? Okay, good. Okay, another thing I need to make another motion to further amend the agenda. Sorry. Under new business, if everyone would just, we are going to add the field trip policy conversation and vote. Actually, Lance, you need a vote also, right? Okay, so we have another voting item, which is, well, let me rephrase the motion. I make a motion that we amend the agenda to add two voting items, one being the field trip policy vote, which will take place under new business. The second vote will take place under old business when we do the solar update. May I have a second?
I second. Chris Moody. That was Chris Moody.
Chris Moody seconds.
Well, far
okay. Is there, you guys are asleep at the wheel here. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. So we have two new voting issues. Okay. Alrighty. Any questions or anything for Eric before we move on? Okay, monthly board financials.
You have the full packet. I've moved the board report to the front. You'll notice that year to date in the expenses, we've spent 36% of our budget. We should be at 33%. An analysis of our spending for October, because of the timing of our break, we paid our lease twice for the building, and we paid our busing twice. We also had some one-time expenses related to new gym floor coverings, initial insurance renewal payments, fuel oil for the boiler, which is it's not a monthly occurrence, it's a large amount when you first fill it up at the beginning of the year. We've begun paying for security improvements, and we forwarded the money, fronted the money to have the bricks laid in the back and the pedestal erected for the Seahawk. And if you haven't seen it, it looks fabulous, it looks great. So all of those sort of unusual expenses for the month were $188,000. I'm sorry, $118,000, which is about 1.3% of that variance. So it brings it down closer to where we were last month in terms of overspending for the year. Still sort of waiting for things to balance out. It should come down this month since we won't have a lease payment or a bus payment, a transportation payment to be made. That's really the highlight. We did get some more of the local money for the districts. We've gotten all of our money so far that they owed us. Unfortunately, these reports that I used to create these weren't available until Sunday, so you didn't get these ahead of time, because I just finished them on Sunday, and then I sent them to Steve for his review, and Steve Burke, and I did not hear back from him. So usually I try to send these out prior to the meeting so you have an opportunity to look at them.
I know that he's out of town on business, so that may be why you didn't hear from him. So we are tracking that we've spent maybe 4% more of our budget than this time last year, but how much of our year is gone?
33.3%.
Oh, I see, there it is at the end. Okay. So the variance is that 3% or so?
It's about 2.73.
And is this color up here in the left-hand corner?
Yellow.
Yellow.
What does yellow mean?
Caution.
Caution. Our local amount is about $50,000 more than in our preliminary budget, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so almost all of our numbers are up.
Oh, great.
From our preliminary budget.
So local?
It's $50,000 more than anticipated in our, in the budget here, right?
In the preliminary budget, yes. And I haven't done anything to the preliminary budget, because we don't do that until after all the state money and the local money is finalized.
Okay.
Did you get any idea from the state on that House Bill 335 payment?
Is that the?
Security funds?
The application was in before the November 1st deadline, and there's supposed to be decisions made before tomorrow.
So we should be getting funds probably this month.
I was hoping that we'd have an answer for today's meeting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check.
And I'm also pretty sure we got about a $10,000 grant for the implementation of the CTE program we're doing for next year, the communications.
What about the application for the charter and bump up our number thing?
It's ready to go. I have a question to ask Jen after the meeting about when we want to submit it.
Yeah, I want to follow up with Kendall because, and I'm cautiously approaching this because I remember at the last board meeting I talked about this, the grant for charter schools, and I just don't know if, I don't know what the likelihood is of us actually getting any of that money. I know Kendall is really enthusiastic, but she always is.
Yeah.
So I just don't know how real that is. So I want to kind of figure out, I'll have a conversation with her, or maybe I'll have Eric do that.
I just want to caution, any time, is it worth them, what we have to do, what's tied to that, is it even worth it?
Right. So.
We don't have to use it if we get it, right?
No, I don't think so, but if we use it, just what are we tied to?
Yeah, like what are the, if it's
this
grant.
This is for the security funds.
No. This is
charter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but grants always come with a lot of, requirements.
And not
so,
as funding to meet those requirements.
So I think, we don't need a vote on it, right?
Mm-mm, I think we already have.
Okay, I think we have too.
Yeah.
All right, so I will get back to you within about a week or so.
The only thing I need is the one of the appendices is the school report card.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we've gotten the final one. We had a preliminary one in August or September.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she
said
that.
It's not released. I think it's the end of November. They're planning on releasing them.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that they named Leroy is, he's great.
Yeah.
Leroy Travers is the new charter school office, the head of the charter school office.
Oh, he does?
His daughter is here.
Wow.
His son Baxter is at CAPE. But he's he came from Academy, what's it called? The school in Dover, one of the charters in Dover. And he's great. So I'm really excited about that. So anyway, I'll get back to you. I'll reach out to Kendall and see what we can find out.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's good news. Okay. Any questions for Alan on the financials? No? Alrighty then. I make a motion to approve the monthly financial report from October 31st.
I second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously.
He's off the phone. He hung up a while ago.
He hung up on us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess.
Or got disconnected, I don't know.
There's no, I guess we won't have a foundation update. Okay, moving on. Committee reports. We got written reports from outreach, athletics, school culture, think that was it.
Building and grounds.
And building and grounds.
Building and grounds.
Oh, building and grounds.
Building and grounds on here?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Is there anything anyone that anyone needs to bring up, or anyone want to highlight anything from the committee reports? Okay.
I think Eric already highlighted some from the athletic committee report.
Mm-hmm. Who seconded the motion on the financials?
Susie.
Okay, then moving on to old business. Lance, building security update?
Yeah, so we received our, Alan put together the application, got that put in for the $21,000. I guess we're pending that being approved, but feel pretty confident with that. We had some work scheduled over fall break, and in the report I outlined things that were completed. I can go over them real quick. The plate glass was installed on the front desk. Mag locks were installed, security film is installed, door contacts installed, intercom system was roughed in, the two-way mirror film is going to be put in next week?
Yes.
Next week. And the visitor management system has come in, just needs to be some training done on that to implement. And that's about it. So a lot of those activities have been completed, should be wrapped up by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They thought that they would have the intercom system by yesterday, but it didn't come in. So as soon as it gets here, they'll schedule to have it put in, and they'll come out and do whatever training needs to be done in terms of, you know, right now the exterior doors are on, they have the alarm systems on them.
Contacts.
But it hasn't been, the schedule hasn't been set for how long. Like each one's going to, you know, 25 seconds, 30 seconds before it pushes out a notification. If there's ways that, like for the back where the kids enter and leave, if we can have them so that they're not active between 2:45 and 3:15,
mm-hmm.
or just stop at 2:45 so that we're not getting all these emails and text messages. So that'll happen as soon as the intercom system is complete. The other thing that's happening, I'm trying to get it arranged for Wednesday also, since we're not here, is we're having all the exterior doors numbered, and that was a recommendation from the Georgetown Police.
Mm-hmm.
So AdArt is going to put reflective numbers on all the doors. They have the map that Lance made, and they're making the numbers, and they're going to put them on all the exterior doors. And we went with reflective in case something happens at night.
Yeah, you're shining the light up because they see it. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the cameras, all the door contacts, when they get programmed into the system, are going to be using that ID that says, I'm the contact for door number 19. I'm the video camera that's on door number 19. So that now that the Georgetown Police will have a map to identify, okay, door number 19, we have an issue, they can run around back and know where they're going instead of being like, where's door number 19?
Oh, cool.
Right.
So it was a great suggestion from the Georgetown Police. And
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And easy to implement, so.
And when they were putting it together, I gave them the map, and so they could label,
mm-hmm.
you know, because their doors don't match our doors. We're already up to door number 44, so they have to start at 45. You know, I don't know where 45 is, so he's just going to, when it shows up on our messages, it'll say door 1 or door 2 or whatever.
Will we at some point be sending out an email or a letter to parents letting them know what we've done?
All updates.
Or is that just sending out a message on how to defeat the system? I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like that, you know, the parents have been asking for that.
We sent something out at the beginning of the year about the upgrades that were going to be made, or the upgrades would be made.
It's probably for a follow-up.
Yeah, so I'll do a follow-up. I'm going to do a letter to the community anyway on Tuesday when we leave for Thanksgiving break, just with an update on everything.
Then you have time to work out the kinks before it goes,
Yeah, because it'd be a great update for people coming in that are not blindsided. They're like, oh, well, how come this door's not opening?
Yeah.
You know, what do I do?
Right.
They're already coming in and trying to go to the doors by Mark's desk, and we have those closed. So they have to go to the doors they're eventually going to be using to get into the building.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have to implement some signage
yeah.
in there.
Yeah,
that would
be good, too.
intercom here.
I think the changes to the front desk look amazing.
They do.
It looks so much better than I thought it was gonna look. Like, it's so professional and like not annoying and, you know,
intrusive.
Bullying, yeah. It's very mellow.
Is it okay to use, Andrew? Is it?
We're having some issues with hearing through the sound. So we're gonna have to work.
Do you need a sign that says please yell?
Yell into the hole.
Yeah, right close up. Bend down and talk right into it.
There might, Mark said there might be something inside of it, like a filter, that might be able to be adjusted a little bit so we can hear a little bit better. I don't know.
We can write things down and hold them up.
Yeah.
Okay, great work on that, guys. Thank you both. Yes, Alan, thank you for overseeing everything here. And Lance, thank you for doing all that legwork. That was a long time coming. All right, solar update.
So last meeting, we voted on further investigating the opportunity from Constellation Energy to install a energy production system on school premises. We initially were looking at the piece of property back here where the drainage system was. We voted to further that investigation. They came out and did a site analysis, walked around the facility, and they deemed the location that is back on the other side of the practice fields, which is over on this side of the property, to be sort of the ideal location.
Is that the not Route 9 side?
It is the Route 9
side. Okay.
So you have...
Is that kind of where the bonfire was, over there?
I don't know where the bonfire was.
It was to, if you're looking at the turf, it's to the right, was to the right of the turf and behind.
Yeah. So you have the two turf fields, turf field one, turf field two, and then behind that, towards Route 9, is practice fields, and there's that storage building there. Behind the storage building is a, I guess it's called the clover field, I guess. It's just a field that's not being used for anything, and it's not part of any expansion program for the school.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed to be the best location. Also for the distribution system, would be a straight line to go from there right into the electrical distribution system and to the school.
Mm-hmm.
It would be all fenced, completely fenced around, ground mount system, generating 1 megawatt of power. In my report, I put something there that needs to be corrected. I said that it was a 15-year contract. With the option for an additional 5 years, but it's actually a 20-year contract. It's more favorable to us, and the additional 5-year extensions at our discretion.
So this is like a whole field of solar panels that we've got here, right? I don't know if you know, Chesapeake College over on Route 404 has an incredible environmental program. And I know they have a big, like, they put solar panels over their parking lots,
mm-hmm.
which also decreases the need to plow the parking lots when it snows. Mm-hmm. But theirs goes to a bank. So, like, some days they generate more than they need, and then the electricity goes to this bank, and other days doesn't generate enough, and they can draw from the bank. Is there anything like that around here?
Yeah, so this is our grid tie system, so it's going to be sized to meet roughly 70% of our needs here.
Okay.
So it's always going to be producing that we're going to be consuming.
So we could never produce more than we need
right.
from it.
Well, I mean, in theory, we could. If we reduced our...
Yeah.
Or if we were close.
Our draw down, it could come down close to that, but... With our current draw and with even all the LED stuff that we've done, we've drastically reduced our load by doing the LEDs, and this will still match about 70%. And so it's a grid tie system. On days when we're not here and there is no load, it could be producing more, and what that does, it just goes into the utility, into the grid, and turns our meter backwards.
Right, so we get credits for donating what we don't use.
And then the days when we're actually using here, turn the air conditioning on and sucking more down, we're getting...
So there is a way for us to get that credit. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So here's the... It's zero cost to us. What they're going to do is called a PPA, Purchase Power Agreement. They own all the systems. They maintain it. They will lock in a rate with us for 20 years at a fixed rate. They're saying it's going to be less than 0.65 cents per kilowatt hour. Currently, we're paying Delmarva Power around 9 to 10 cents a kilowatt hour. So it's...
Which is below what
others
are paying.
So we're reducing it
by a third?
Nine.
More than
three.
Third.
Yeah, more.
Yeah.
Less than six.
We were on a special contract with, I think it's Talon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this will not jeopardize that contract. I specifically asked them that when they were here.
So the rough calculations that I did is that we're paying an average of 9 cents. We're going to be locking in a rate of 6.5 or less, depending on what their construction costs come in. So we're 2.5 cents per kilowatt, which equates at a million kilowatts that we're using a year, it equates around $25,000 that we'll be saving for zero output. Plus, I think it's sort of cool to have that part of the campus because they're going to be donating to us at no charge a energy management monitoring system that we can put in the lobby, like a 40-inch TV that's going to be showing real-time what it's actually producing. We could tie in we could tie in some STEM classes or whatever to it that would be like, hey, let's go do this energy analysis and determine the shading of a solar panel and how much degradation you get from the efficiency of the panel, blah, 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 blah. You know, so I think there's a lot of opportunity for that to happen.
What's the downside? Is there any downside, Lance?
The downside is that we're tying up this piece of property for a minimum of 20 years. So it's not being allocated or used for anything, and we're just cutting the grass, and we don't have any plans for it. I think it's a great opportunity for us to save a minimum of $25,000 a year. I mean, we're also hedging our bets that energy costs are going to go up in the next 20 years, which they probably are going to be going up.
Have they ever not? Have they ever not gone up?
That's actually an interesting question. Do you have to mow between those things?
But no, they're going to take care of that.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, they'll usually put some ground cover down so there's not a whole lot of rain. But if energy costs do go up, say it goes up to 12 cents, we're still paying 6.5 cents. So our ROI, our benefit is going to increase over time.
Actually, one of the things that I learned when I went over to Chesapeake College on 404 is that one of the disadvantages of solar panels is that they end up on prime farmland, which isn't what we have here.
Right.
So, it's good.
So what they need is they put together a site plan, and they wanted to get, or what I wanted to do was get a vote from the board that says we're good to move forward with this because they need to start all their processing. They have to have this thing done by the end of next year because they have to have it in place for whatever things they need to do.
Yeah.
So their plan was they want to get everything in place, submitted to all the utilities and authorities in January. They want to have it started in June, so it's done by the beginning of school year next year. So the construction will happen during the summer when we're not in session. Shouldn't disrupt anything a whole lot anyway. But we need to get that, since we're not going to be meeting in December.
Yep.
So what we need to vote on is say, we're good with this and we're good to move forward with moving forward with that, and say that that we're agreeing to 0.65 cents maximum. It could be less than that, but we're okay if it does come in at 0.65 cents.
Okay, so could you make the motion? Just say what you just said, but in a motion form?
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to make a motion that we, as a board, approve the go-ahead for Constellation to move forward with the next phase of their design and implementation based off of a power purchase agreement of 0.65 cents or less.
No, got it, point, yep.
For 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not 0.65 cents. It's 6.5 cents.
6.5.
Yeah. 6.5 cents, not 0.65 cents.
No, that's what I
did.
Okay, Andrew, did you get the motion? Okay, do I have a second?
I have a second.
Lauren.
And you reviewed the contracts, right, Alan?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, this is to actually create the...
To create the contract.
Yeah, okay. We'll still be able to review it, but this is to go to the next step.
To obtain a contract.
To obtain a contract.
For our review.
So this is not going to be binding unless we are sure with the contract.
Correct, yeah. This is, I can redo the motion, I guess. This is to get the agreement to go to the next phase of the process to obtain a contract that we would then review.
Okay. And what is the foundation for its role in this? Because it's technically their land, right?
Joe?
He's gone. It is. Have you had conversations with Joe about it, Lance?
I did, and he read the minutes that I sent out and replied to me on those. He didn't say anything specifically to that. I did send him, I did send Joe this and asked him if there was any plans for that space. I didn't hear back from him, so I can reach out to him.
Okay. I think we can still...
Do we want to call him back?
No, I think we can vote, and then I would just ask you to follow up with Joe. I mean, he was here throughout the first conversation. We talked about where we, you know, I mean, I think it'll be fine, but I would just encourage you to follow up with him and have, you know, a further...
So when we get the contract, we know.
Yep, have a further conversation.
Yeah. And I think we should also have the numbers where what we are paying right now, what would 6.5... And what would be the saving? Like, just instead of it being in the air, it would be good to kind of have those numbers in.
Yeah. So when we get the contract, they're gonna finalize that number. And it could come in at like 6 cents, and then once we have that number, then we can do the analysis.
Not saying 6 cents. I'm like looking at what we are paying right now, and then how much is our consumption right now, and how much they are going to be able to, you know, bring in. So what's our saving? We're thinking it's going to be $25,000 saving, but it could be only $10,000. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once we get that defined rate, then we can go back to and say, if we had this in place for the past 12 months, this would have been our savings.
They have copies of the invoices for fiscal year 2018. I wasn't able to get access to the fiscal year 2019 until today, so I told them I would scan those and send them to so they know what we've been paying and can do an analysis, and I believe that would be part of their proposal.
Yeah, they had our, before we even could go enter into any conversations with them, we had to show them our power bills, because they will only do the project if there's a minimum level of consumption. So we met that. So they, you know, that's an easy analysis to do. I mean, we can only do it based on what our consumption has been. We can't sort of predict the future. But, okay, any other questions before we take a vote? Andrea, I'm going to ask you, can you just read what the motion is? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're going to restate the motion.
Okay.
Lance?
We're going to make a motion that we approve the Constellation solar power next phase for expiration of the contract at a maximum of 6.5 cents.
Okay. And we had a second from Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Great work. Thank you.
And it's one other thing on the minutes. Or on the committee report, I did have one item on there that was in regard to the middle school wing. There had been some issues with HVAC and things in there. Alan had the architects come down. We wanted them to do sort of an independent review of what was going on instead of just dealing with HVAC systems. And we had a notion that there was some building envelope potential issues. That was sort of corroborated by what they found as well. Essentially, some air infiltration is getting into
the space above the ceiling tiles and just create an environment that is non-conducive for heat transfer and creating sweating of ducts and different things that shouldn't be happening. So they have identified where some of the locations where we're having those issues, and that's been sent to our contractor.
The report was sent to RYJ. I reached out to them before the break. He said he would get into contact with Brad Cohen, who works, he was the general manager for our project, that he would reach out to the contractor and get back to me. I told him we were closed last week, so it would be a great time if he could get his contractors in there to do it. I reached out to him again at the end of last week, and I heard back from him yesterday that the original contractor has been bought by another company, but that company will do the modifications.
At their cost,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So what are the modifications? What has to be done? Insulation or patching of holes
ceiling,
where air is getting in?
Yeah, it's I mean,
walls.
What you just said.
The simplistic is at where the eave comes over, there's gaps where air can just go up and get into that space, and those were not sealed all properly.
Right.
So they have to go in there and remedy that, seal it up so that there's no air infiltration getting in there. That's why we've been getting freezing pipes in the wintertime and sweaty floors in the summertime, is because all that humidity is getting in there and it can't keep up. So one of the things that we're going to push them for, though, is that this needs to get fixed first, and then we want to get
Then they need to get back in here and fix the HVAC.
Well, first is the architect's going to come back down.
I will.
The architect's going to come back down and verify that the fixes that were done to spec originally, and then we want to push for a recommissioning of the complete HVAC system, because that's why it hasn't been working, is because it's been in an environment that it can't work. It wasn't designed to work that way, so we need to recommission it.
Does that mean replace it?
No, recommission is just essentially reset all the set points and revalidate how every piece of the process
Right,
works.
And to look at what damage has been done to the system because it's been working under this crazy environment for this long.
We've gone back and looked at all of the bills that we have paid because of these things that we're dealing with, and that shouldn't be our responsibility.
No.
And also, what about water? One of the teachers told me that her room was like a rainforest.
Yeah.
Like water was dripping on kids' heads. And like water damage. Is there water damage?
There's ceiling tile water damage. I mean, that's all. It's all condensation. It's all coming from sweating ducts that shouldn't be sweating.
Yes.
So there probably is going to be a little bit of a battle coming up in terms of, here's the bill, and they're going to say, oh, we're not going to pay that, and there's probably going to be some issues there, but we'll have to work through it.
I'd like to sit in on some of those meetings.
Sure.
So do you think that because of all this, our electric bills are much higher for the last couple of years, and you know what we are doing with the solar panel, there may be an impact? Like, now that this is fixed, our bills may be lower?
Slightly lower, but I don't think it's huge. It wouldn't be like half or double or anything like that, but that definitely is the case, though. Yeah, a lot of the dehumidification stuff comes from an oil-based system, so it's not using power to do some of the dehumidification part of it anyway. But yeah, if a system is overloaded and it's working more than it should be, it's going to be drawing more power.
Good times.
But the good thing is that it has been identified and hopefully corrected, that we can move on from this issue that's been plaguing us for a while.
Nice work. Thank you.
It's a lot of work. Thank you.
And maybe teachers will have a print paper that actually comes out of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't roll as it goes through the Xerox machine.
All right. New business. Field trip policy.
Yep. So, as mentioned in my report, we need field trip policy to submit to our insurance company, make sure that we have the schools covered for the trip. So we just basically crafted a policy based on what we already have in place or had in place, some of the guidelines that we created around the senior trip, and some things that we found in other districts' policies. So you can take a minute, read that over, and then we can answer any questions.
How did the trip
trip locations get determined or picked?
The students chose.
Will it be different each year?
It could be. So it'll be, the plan would be for us to, after this trip takes place in the spring, to start on the junior class that'll be seniors next year to identify where they want to go so they can start fundraising efforts a lot sooner. It'll be, and we plan to establish class officers for each class for next year as well. So there'll be a little bit more continuity with that. And kids will start discussing that probably before, you know. I had lunch today with a group of seventh graders, and they heard about it. And they were like, can we go for our senior year, or where can we? So they were already, so I think that once they see it, I think kids are going to start talking about it, and they're going to have an idea where they want to go.
This would cover even like day trips that we're taking?
Yeah, so this will cover day trips. There's certain things, though, academic standing and eligibility and those things. A lot of the times the day trips are going to be really academic focused, so students need to be a part of those. So they're, you know, but if you're a student that's going on an overnight trip and you're failing classes and you're going to miss more school, then we're going to talk about you need to be in school and not on this trip.
I, like under behavior history, for instance, I would like that to say may be ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
I would like it to say maybe
right,
on everyone,
yeah, maybe.
Because I think
yeah.
right we would like you to have the ability to
decide whether this.
What we'll say is we'll say maybe, because a lot of times if a student goes before a review board or something, like a student gets suspended for accumulation of demerits and then turns it around, I wouldn't want them to be ineligible. But if a student does a major infraction that year and goes to the review board and the review board decides that they can't be eligible for those things, then that would be a case where they're not
eligible.
Yeah,
like a social probation.
Yeah, but if
yeah.
something happened early in the year, it didn't require a review board, students aren't completely turned it around, I would hate to see for that to make them ineligible. So yeah, I like that language.
For the academic standing, it says D or F at the close of the semester. Do we mean marking period, or did you mean the semester? Because there could be trips the first half of the year, but we don't have semester grades yet.
Alan, where did that come from?
I'll read that too. It seems complicated. Like maybe there's a way they could. Because I mean, it's all predicated upon like. Close of the semester preceding the final payment of the trip. There could be a lot of manipulation. Oh, the final payment is not due until here or there. Like, why not say if you have a D or F, you just can't go?
Don't we have a status of like academic probation
mm-hmm.
or something
for like sports?
Yeah, but is it called academic probation?
Ineligibility.
Okay, so could we use that same term, academic ineligibility, or?
Yeah, because it's the same. If they're failing two classes. Too poor, they would be ineligible for sports.
Yeah.
What did you change?
I would say.
That to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do we do it for DIAA?
It's failing.
But it's the, like, is
two
it...
Two out of your, you have to be passing two out of four core classes. And
but like
if you're
we
a senior, you need to be on track to graduate.
So we just had a marking period. So that means if...
So this mark, so,
well,
so it says
yeah.
proceeding,
yeah.
I'm assuming... the way it works is a kid could be ineligible after the first marking period, turn it around, and when second marking period grades come out, they're re-eligible. So it would be eligibility at the time. So if it's a February trip, it would be the first semester. And maybe that's where that came from, close of the semester, because of this particular timing of this trip. It would be whatever the latest report card that was issued would determine your eligibility.
So I guess I'm just thinking, so going on a field trip in September, you use May? Because that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to. I mean, for sports, you used a
prior year?
Prior year.
Ugh.
But
okay.
this would be an overdue.
It's a May,
trip.
Right? It's
May.
A May.
I mean, we could just take academics, we can take that out and say that...
they must be in good
academic standing.
There we go.
Yeah.
And
students. A kid can do
we
can
do
semester and then be horrible and then still want to trip.
Right. Maybe.
Well, it says that part about if current teaching staff have in progress grades or consistent like that, I would leave that and then put the thing about good academic standing.
Yeah, we could put students could be in good academic standing and then we can define what good academic standing means later.
Yeah.
Later in the policy or somewhere else?
Later
in life.
You know, it does say up top that, you know, the accordance, that field trips, the policy will be, is charged with the executive directory to properly ensuring student safety or, you know, for the trips is, it kind of gives me the opportunity if I need to, it says academic standing, I determine what academic standing is. Yeah.
Okay.
If a student is failing all classes, that's not good academic standing.
Correct.
So I think that letting that be a little bit more loose is better.
So I would say that we need to just make these changes and then we'll vote on it in January.
Yeah.
We can, everyone support,
we'll
sort of have opportunity, yeah.
And
make
it
the
just
changes,
went to Shanta
we'll
today.
Out. Yeah.
So she'll have a chance to see it and then I'll
and
send
everyone,
it to her again after
so
I make
just say
the changes.
We kind of table it, you know, send it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Put input and then we come up with a final policy for approval in January.
Yep. Excellent. Anything else under new business?
Does this need to get into the details of like what happens if someone is qualified, they put their deposit in, and then something happens like a week before the trip and they can't go? Do we need to get detailed and say that
we don't need to get that
refunded
yeah.
or it is refunded?
Yeah,
trip by trip.
Okay.
I mean, there's some guidelines that students have to sign off of on this particular trip. So it'll be trip by trip because some places, like if you're going to a foreign, if you're going like on an Italy trip or something, if you buy the insurance, that's through an outside third party, you can get your money, all your money back.
Right.
So it just kind of depends.
Okay.
Trip by trip.
Any other new business? Okay. Do we have executive session?
We do.
Okay. Okay. So I make a motion at 5:35 to go into executive session. Please. Could you say?
I don't know what
we're going to discuss. Sapping. Oh, wait, Sarah. For, can you read that?
Oh,
sorry. Yes. So, I make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss personnel matters in accordance with 29 Delaware Code, Section 10004B9. I have a second.
Second. Got it.
Second by Chris Moody.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
On the record?
Yeah.
Okay. Last on our agenda is adjourn. I make a motion to adjourn at 6:15.
Second?
Second. Lance? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Adios, amigos.
Sorry.